Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cashatt. I'm your co-host. And joining me in today's conversation is Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. So great to hear your voice.
I agree. I always enjoy our time together. And, you know, I should just make a note, a point right now that it never feels like work. And so every now and then I have to remind myself that we're not just chit-chatting on the phone. This is actually a podcast.
Well, you know, it used to feel like work, don't you think? I mean, like when we were first starting?
I don't know if I should be offended by that or not. Yeah, I think parts of it are work, maybe preparing the content. But when we actually get to this point where we sit down and talk about, you know, the different topics that we've chosen, I don't know. It's just, maybe it's because all the work is done ahead of time. It doesn't feel like quite so much work.
Well, I think what I was referring to is back in the early days when we were batch recording, You know, by the time we got to 13 episodes in a row, you know, that 13th episode, which we're on today, by the way, for season
yes,
7.
Yes, we are.
You know, I was a little exhausted.
Were you? Yeah, I was too. I have to admit that. I was going to make an age comment right there, but I decided not to because that would just be rude for me to make that kind of comment on the air with people listening.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So let's dive into the content for today.
Okay.
Now, a couple of years ago, Michael, you wrote these words: if you don't have a website, you don't exist. And then you went on to say, if you don't have a blog, or if you do but aren't blogging on a consistent basis, then you are missing out on one of the greatest leadership tools ever invented. So my question for you today, before we dive into today's topic, do you still feel the same?
I do. You know, I think a blog is the greatest leadership tool ever invented because it allows you to influence people at scale. In other words, if I'm just going to go around without a blog, I can influence people by speaking. I can connect with people one-on-one, and all those are meaningful. All those have their place. I don't want to take away anything from that, but you can't do it at the kind of scale you can when you're blogging, when you can literally have a voice like we're doing with this podcast with ultimately, I mean, we get 300,000 downloads a month, mm-hmm. You know, to influence that many people. You know, it's amazing. You couldn't do that unless you had a television show or a radio show or a podcast. And that's the thing I like about blogging and podcasting and all these social media tools that we have today.
You know, that's an excellent point because I'm in the middle of a 6-week stretch of speaking around the United States. Actually, I'm even leaving the United States for one event. And I mean, it's exhausting. As you know, traveling is exhausting, speaking in front of an audience and all of that. I love it. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity, but it certainly takes a toll. Whereas one blog post I wrote not that long ago reached far more people than I'm going to connect with in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think blogging for that reason is just an incredible resource and a tool that leaders today really would be wise to consider.
All right. So if you're a leader, if you're listening in today and you're a leader and don't currently have a blog, you seriously need to reconsider for multiple reasons. And we're going to unpack all of those today. If you are a leader and you currently have a blog that you're underutilizing, that's a fancy way of saying you're not writing on it consistently, which I've been there, done that before, then we want to really challenge you, encourage you today to step up your game in this one area, simply because if you believe in your message, then you aren't taking advantage of one of the greatest resources that are out there for you to basically get traction for that message that you claim to believe in so much. So Michael is going to give you 10 reasons every leader needs a blog. And I think by the end of our time together today, you're going to have a renewed passion for blogging. So if you find yourself at that place of being a little bit burnt out, this is exactly where you need to be right now. And this is a podcast you need to listen to. So let's go ahead and dive in. Michael, we're going to deliver 10 reasons why every leader needs to have a blog. Give us number one.
Number one is to improve your communication skills. You know, this is one of the great kind of unseen benefits to me of starting a blog when I started back in 2004. I always thought I was a pretty good communicator, mm-hmm. but there's something about writing consistently that helps you sort out your best thoughts, distill the essence of what you're trying to say, and communicate with precision. So I think if you're a leader who's committed to better communication, and all of us leaders need to, because mm-hmm. we need to be selling the vision, we need to be communicating with people, we need to be helping them, we need to be guiding them. All of it takes a communication, but a blog is one of the best ways to get better at communication, because you're forced to write and to be clear. And clarity is essential if you're a leader.
Have you noticed how blogging regularly has impacted your public speaking? Like, do you see a direct kind of relationship between the two?
Yeah, and kind of here's a dirty little secret. I don't know if you do this, but I rarely speak on anything I haven't blogged on. Mm-hmm. So blogging for me is kind of the workbench where I hammer out new content. So if I'm thinking about a speech, it's usually best if I blog about it first, because it forces me to get really clear on kind of the outline and what the objective statement is and all the rest. And then I can go from there. Plus, by the way, it allows me to test it.
Yes.
So if people don't respond to it, or if there's crickets, then I know, you know, that's not really resonating. So yes, it helps me immensely for public speaking. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. I think what you said is a big piece of it, because I do the same, where a lot of times I will test different topics on a blog post and see how it resonates. Or I may write a blog post, and when it really hits a chord, I tell myself, okay, that needs to become a presentation, a signature presentation, because it tells me that the market is asking for it. So the other thing that I found that blogging does is it helps me to come up with more, what I like to say, pithy or tweetable phrases.
Yes.
It forces me to really think through every single word. And I come up with quotable phrases, tweetable phrases that really stick in the listener's mind. And if it works in a blog post, then it becomes very powerful in a public speaking scenario. And so it just helps me to be more intentional about that and ramble less when I actually do public speaking.
Yeah. And so I would just say to anybody, any leader who wants to be a better communicator, whether it's public speaking or just, you know, in your white papers or your presentations to your board or trying to communicate with your employees, if you blog, you'll be a better communicator and you'll grow. You continue to grow as a communicator.
Absolutely. Okay. So the first reason every leader needs a blog is to improve your communication skills. What's number two?
Number two is to create a repository for your best thinking. Now, this was really the reason why I started my blog back in 2004. I really wasn't concerned with communicating so much with the outside world. At the time, I had 650 employees. I was the president, not yet the CEO, but the president and the COO of Thomas Nelson. I was trying to lead this organization that was fairly large, again, 650 employees. And I found myself repeating myself a lot. So there were a lot of things that, whether it was corporate values or our vision, or just some of the workflows and productivity hacks that I'd learned, I found myself repeating a lot. And I thought, man, if I could commit all this to writing and include it in a searchable repository like a blog, mm-hmm. then people could access it anytime they wanted. And what I found was that in trying to do that, it became a resource, not just for my company, but for lots of people, thousands of people outside of my company that were trying to tap into that very thing. So if, as a leader, you find yourself wanting to communicate some basic things over and over again, mm-hmm. and as a leader, I don't think you can over-communicate. You can definitely under-communicate. But like Andy Stanley says, vision leaks. And just about anything you need to communicate as a leader leaks unless you keep saying it over and over again. Mm-hmm. But a blog is a great way to do that.
Excellent. So second reason that you should have a blog is to create a repository for your best thinking. What is reason number three?
Reason number three is to provide thought leadership to your industry. This is one of the things I also didn't anticipate, but here was the deal. None of my competitors, when I started blogging, were blogging. Actually, one was, kind of, but nobody else really was. And none of us had a column like in Publishers Weekly. I was in the publishing business, and that was the leading trade journal. So none of us had a column there. So the only influence or thought leadership that we could exercise is if we happened to be invited to speak at a trade show mm-hmm. or some kind of conference where there were other publishers. So there wasn't an opportunity to exercise thought leadership. Suddenly, when I had a blog, I found myself writing on all kinds of industry topics. So for example, when ebooks hit, when Amazon introduced the Kindle, you know, a lot of people were wondering about it. I already by that time had thousands of people a month reading me and wanted to know what I thought about the digitization of publishing. So I was seen as a thought leader only because I had a platform. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a venue to express myself. All my colleagues, all my competitors had thoughts about it. They had opinions. And if they had a platform, they could have expressed them, but they didn't. So I was able to express my opinion. I was able to give guidance, and I constantly was invited to speak at industry trade shows and conventions and all that because people saw me as a thought leader, and people will see you in the same light if you have a blog. Mm-hmm. You've got a way of expressing your thoughts and talking about the issues that your industry is confronting.
I would imagine it also forced you to some extent to do your research, right? So to make sure that you are upping your game and staying on the front edge of whatever new technology or new developments in the publishing industry or whatever. So it really probably pushed you to be excellent at what you do.
Well, it did, because it's one thing to have an opinion. It's another thing to have an informed opinion. Mm-hmm. And you know, you might make a confidence comment if you're attending a trade show, but it may not be an informed comment, and it doesn't really matter because you're talking to somebody one-on-one or to a small group. But suddenly when you're putting it into print, so to speak, even if it's only digital ink, it has more gravitas. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to be more careful. You've got to be more thorough. And if you don't, you know, your competitors and everybody else will correct you.
So that is so true.
Yeah.
There's some that are waiting to correct.
So on those kind of... They are. And on some of those issues that were, you know, specific to our industry, like I remember when we as a company pulled out of the largest trade show in our industry because we just didn't feel trade shows served us any longer. They were a very, very expensive way to connect with a handful of people. And so we decided we would introduce an alternative where we flew in our top dealers, our retailers into Nashville and met with them in a smaller group. And we had their full attention. You know, I had to defend that on my blog, and it was a great opportunity to do that. But boy, I had to do my research because I had a lot of people, including Publishers Weekly and others, coming after me. So, you know, I had to do my homework.
All right. So absolutely. So far, we've talked about three of the reasons why every leader needs a blog: to improve your communication skills, to create a repository for your best thinking, to provide thought leadership to your industry. What is reason number four, Michael?
That's to raise your organization's visibility. Now, this can be important because, you know, we've all tried things like conventional advertising. I mean, heck, you might even buy billboards depending on the industry you're in. But paid advertising is very different from earned coverage or earned publicity. And the thing I like about a blog is that it raised the visibility of Thomas Nelson Publishers when I was leading that organization. Because in the publishing world, you know, the publishers are generally not recognized by people outside of the industry. You know, if I ask you to name the most recent book you read, you might be able to because you're kind of a book geek, but most people can't, they couldn't tell you who the publisher is, right? And it's just like record labels. You know, if I ask you, well, what record label was Prince on? A lot of talk about Prince as we're recording this. Most people couldn't tell you. It just doesn't matter. But I had people write into me like crazy after I started blogging and said, you know what, when I go to the bookstore, now I look for the Thomas Nelson logo on books because you've personalized it. You've humanized it. For me, it now means something. So if you want to raise the visibility of your organization, a blog is a great way to do that. And that's why I think, and my board of directors didn't really see this, particularly at the beginning, but that's why if I were in the board of directors of almost any company, I would insist that the CEO blog or the leadership blog, because it's a great way to get free advertising and visibility for your brand or for your company.
And this is true for solopreneurs as well. It doesn't have to be just big organizations. So if it's a solopreneur that has some kind of product or message or presentation that they offer, you're still bringing visibility to what you do.
Yeah, totally. I mean, how else are you going to do it? You know, you're going to hope to get coverage somewhere.
In the olden days, we would mail postcards or, you know, go to different conferences and hand out thousands of business cards. It's different now.
Yeah, it's really different. And, you know, some of those things, again, we're not saying it's either or. Some of those things can still be important. And some of those things ought to be a part of your strategy. But why wouldn't you avail yourself of a medium that cost almost nothing to start, that gives you access to potentially thousands of readers and listeners and fans. You know, to Absolutely. Me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and it's not limited by geography or location or anything. Right. I mean, really, it's pretty profound. Okay, so number four was raise your organization's visibility. What is the fifth reason every leader should have a blog?
To share your organization's vision. You know, you'd be surprised as a leader how little people know about your organization. You know, you're swimming in it. Mm-hmm. You know what it's about. You know what your vision is. You know what your strategy is. You know the full catalog of all the products that you offer. You know why it's important. You know why people need to be buying from you. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Outside of the echo chamber of your own office, people don't generally know. Mm-hmm. And a blog gives you an opportunity to talk about the things that are important to your organization in a way that other people can link to, and in a way that other people can share, and in a way that makes it absolutely clear what your organization's about. Let me give an example. We went through a whole process when I was at Thomas Nelson of identifying our five core values. Now, for most organizations, if they go through that process, they come up with a list of kind of generic core values that they put on a plaque, hang in their lobby, and promptly forget about. Mm-hmm. But we decided at Thomas Nelson that we weren't going to do that, that these five core values were going to be integral to the way that we did business, to the way that we thought about our culture, to the kinds of employees that we recruited, to the way we did leadership development, to the way that we did annual employee reviews. We wanted it to permeate our organization. So we identified the values, mm-hmm. then we identified the behaviors that express those values, and then I went to town and I blogged on each one of those values on my blog. And it was amazing, you know, because people connected with that. You know, people wanted to do something similar in their organization, so we were seen as a pioneer. But people began to shape their vision about who Thomas Nelson was based on those kinds of blog posts. Mm-hmm. I did another series on the history of Thomas Nelson. You know, again, something that we were very familiar with because we'd been in business since 1798. Well, I shouldn't say I was personally familiar with it, but I read about it. But I blogged about the history of Thomas Nelson. And again, that gave people a much more three-dimensional, nuanced version of our company that they connected with emotionally. And I believe it ultimately translated into sales and new business for our company because they got who we were and what we were about.
Well, and I think it probably impacted your employees as much as your customers Yes. or your potential customers because they were reading that as well. So you're not just reinforcing the vision externally, but you're doing it internally too.
Right. Exactly right.
All right. So far we've talked about five of the 10 reasons every leader needs a blog. Those five reasons are to improve your communication skills. Number two, to create a repository for your best thinking. Number three, to provide thought leadership to your industry. Number four, to raise your organization's visibility. And number five, to share your organization's vision. We have five more to come. All of these are so important. Our aim is at the end of this that you have you are thoroughly convinced of the value of a blog if you're a leader, but also a secondary aim for us is that if you are falling out of love with blogging or you're overwhelmed by it, that you would get a renewed passion and inspiration to stick with it and to dive back in. Well, before we dive into the second half of our show today, Michael, I think all of your listeners and readers would love an update on Living Forward. It's now been a month and a half, I think, right? 2 months? Has it been 2 months?
Came out on March the 1st.
Right? March 1st, that's right. So almost 2 months since Living Forward released. So how is it going? I know as an author that when a book comes out, the work has just begun.
Yeah, it's really true. Well, here's the good news. The good news is that the book hit the USA Today bestseller list. It hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list and Publishers Weekly, as well as the Christian bestseller list.
Which is amazing.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm. It did not hit the New York Times bestseller list, but that's okay. You know, we can't quite crack the algorithm. It certainly sold more than almost all the books on the New York Times bestseller list the week it came out. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, you know, the people at the New York Times decided not to put it on the list. But regardless, the thing that's, I think, been the most important to me is the reviews. At last I looked, which was about 10 minutes ago.
Well, just so you know, side note, I actually looked at your book and the reviews because I get so excited to see you succeed. So I actually just looked at them last night, in fact.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so it's right now it's averaging 4.8 on a scale of 5 stars on Amazon. It's got 282 reviews, most of them 5-star reviews, a couple of them that aren't 5-star reviews. But that's okay. I think I even had a 1-star review and a couple of 2-star reviews. But you know, you're not going to please everybody.
Of course
but
not.
But
4.8, let's just take a moment and just hang out there for a while, because my goodness, what an accomplishment. That, I mean, that means you're meeting needs of a real audience.
Well, thanks.
Well, it's been very exciting for me to watch Living Forward succeed, watch and hear from so many different people that even contact me and tell me how it has impacted the way that they are choosing to live and the intentionality they're living with. So I'm just so happy for you, Michael. And if those of you who are listening right now, if you haven't read Living Forward yet, be sure to go to Amazon and get your copy as soon as possible. And then let us know how it goes for you. We'd love to hear your stories about how Living Forward is truly making a difference in your day-to-day life. That's the whole point of the book, right, Michael?
Absolutely. I got to tell you one story. Literally, before we came on the podcast today to record this, I just got an email from our mutual friend, Ken Davis.
Oh, yes.
And he just read the book and he said, man, I'm totally creating this life plan based on what you said in the book. He said, I know it's going to be a game changer for me. And I know it will be for him too. You know,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't care what age you are. You still got a future. You're alive for a reason. And part of what we help you do in Living Forward is to stop drifting and start designing the outcomes you want in every area of your life. So that's what the book's about. And I'd love for you to get a copy.
I love that. Well, thanks so much for giving us an update. And I know that you are still working hard to carry on the message of Living Forward even now. So we appreciate how much heart and effort that you and Daniel put into that tremendous book. All right. Well, today we are talking about 10 reasons every leader needs a blog. Michael has already done a great job building a strong case for why you and I not only need to have a blog, but actually need to write on it, to actually use it and be consistent with our blogging. So you've already heard the first 5 reasons. Let's dive right into the last 5 reasons, because I really believe that if the first 5 weren't enough to convince you, these last 5 will. So what is reason number 6?
Reason number 6 is to network with people who can help you. I've been amazed, Michelle, over the years that I've blogged, how many people that I'm in relationship right now, in business relationships, I met because I had a blog. Mm-hmm. People who contacted me, you know, maybe I was looking for something or some information or some other resource, and they connected me with me in the comments of the blog, and they were the very people that could help me accomplish something. Mm-hmm. So some of my friends today are people that I wouldn't be connected with, except for the fact that I have a blog and we connected through that. So there are people that are out there. The problem is they don't know who you are. And as a leader, when you have a blog, you know, eventually some of those people are going to find you. Mm-hmm. And those people are people that can bring resources, knowledge, help to your business and can help you succeed. And they want to help you.
It really is. Blogging really is a conversation. It's a dialogue. And as a blogger, you initiate that dialogue or conversation via your site. But I agree with you. I have made some tremendous relationships simply from the blog. People who were brave enough to leave comments and join the conversation and share a bit of their story. And that's been a tremendous gift for me.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So to network with people who can help you, what is reason number 7 every leader needs a blog?
It's to build trust with prospective customers. You know, people do business with people they know, mm-hmm. like, and trust. And one of the things that a blog can do is, first of all, we talked about it gives you visibility. It allows you to express your personality. And especially when you're an institution, people don't have a lot of love typically for institutions. You know, they're nameless, faceless institutions, and a lot of people are kind of anti-institutional. Mm-hmm. But when you put a face on your business by blogging and being public with who you are, it connects people to you. And it gets people to be able to trust you. When you're adding value to them, you're not just, you know, over there tooting your own horn, mm-hmm. but when you're actually adding value, solving their real problems, giving them inspiration, education, all the rest, then they begin to trust you. And so when they see your product or have an opportunity to buy your product, then it creates, there's that kind of trust that's the foundation that enables sales to flourish. And I think that's probably the biggest benefit I've had from blogging is just to enable me to create trust with hundreds of thousands of people who mm-hmm. buy my products. And I don't know of any other way I could have done it. People, you know, typically tend to distrust things online, mm-hmm. but when you blog and give information and add value, they come to trust you.
I think that's such a powerful phrase, what you said at the beginning, that people only do business with those that they know, like, and trust. And I just wanted to repeat that because I think that's yep. pretty profound. And it's interesting that blogging is a strange mix of both professional and personal, so, and personality as well. So three P's, but you have to mix all of those in order to create that trust on those different levels. Do you find yourself very intentional about making sure you're blending this kind of professional, practical help with personality and with personal life stories and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think stories are one of the great ways to do that. Being authentic, sharing your failures, sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody just wants to hear about all your successes, but when you share failures, when you share where you're struggling, you know, that creates a kind of humanity or a humanness to what you're doing that makes people connect with you. And so, yeah, I think blogging's huge for that.
Yeah, I agree with that. If we only share our successes, we don't have much credibility because right. everybody knows it's not real, which really leads us into reason number eight. Reason number eight that every leader needs a blog, which is?
To build authority in your niche. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to influence people, you've got to have some level of authority with them, especially online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could tout your degrees or your experience and all of that, but that doesn't create the kind of authority that writing creates online. Mm-hmm. When you're, again, solving people's problems, offering them real help, you will be seen as an expert, as an authority in your particular niche. So blogging is better than anything else. The only thing that's maybe even better is writing a book. You know, that'll mm-hmm. establish your authority in a niche too. But just short of that, I would say blogging is the next best thing. And of course, blogging can lead to getting a contract for a book as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because I know you've had sales of your books in the thousands and thousands and thousands, but most authors are lucky to have, you know, to sell 10,000 copies of their book, where if you are consistent and intentional and strategic about your blogging, you can actually reach more people with one blog post than with selling 10,000 books.
Yeah, it's really true. And it's probably because it's a low barrier of entry because people don't have to pay, generally speaking, mm-hmm. to read your blog posts. Mm-hmm. You're going to get deeper with a book, mm-hmm. you know, obviously. You're going to get deeper even more than a book with a course or a membership site and all the rest. Yes. But I think a blog is a great first step. And it can lead to all the rest of that. And it certainly has in my case, in the case of hundreds of bloggers that I know and associate with.
All right. So the reason number eight that every leader needs a blog is to build authority in your niche. What is reason number nine?
Okay. So if all the other reasons didn't exist, this would be enough. And it's this, to gather feedback from your constituents. Mm-hmm. The problem is most of us in leadership over time, and as we move up in the organization, get isolated from the very people we're trying to help. Mm. You know, it's just the demands of administration, the demands of the business. The thing I love about blogging is it keeps you connected with the very people that you're trying to help. I mean, I get blog comments every single day from people who are real customers, who are real readers, who are real listeners, who will tell me exactly what they think. I don't know how I would run my business without that kind of information.
Mm-hmm. So true.
It's just huge.
Yeah, it's massive. And having, you know, basically a blog becomes like You know, I kind of think of it as the entryway inside my house. So the door is open and people can come in. It may not be quite as personal as the family room, which a book becomes more like that. But it's that entry point where people feel like they can ask questions and give feedback and tell you what they need or what they think, which is, if you and I aren't interested in or asking what people need, then we shouldn't be in this business at all.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, even when I get complaints, which happens occasionally, mm-hmm. I've learned to embrace those. And by the way, a book that I'm reading right now that I'm absolutely loving is Jay Baer's new book called Hug Your Haters.
Ooh, that sounds great. I like that.
I just interviewed him for Platform University. Killer interview. But one of the things he told me was how he handles negative book reviews on Amazon. And so I did this. So for those negative book reviews, I went in, I said, first of all, thank you so much for taking time to read the book. I'm sorry my book didn't meet your expectations. And I would like to send you an Amazon gift card to cover the cost of the book. Just, you know, my small way of saying thank you and reimbursing you for the expense. So, A, I did that with about five negative reviews on Amazon. You can go read them at the Living Forward page. I haven't had one take me up on it yet. But one of the things he says is if you don't respond to the negative ones, then their record stands as kind of the last word. Mm. And so I thought that was brilliant advice. But even negative comments can inform me. There's usually a little grain of truth in whatever anybody writes. I mean, occasionally you get people that are just, you know, drive-by haters that are going to say something ugly because their dog bit them that morning. But but in most cases, there's something there that can be useful.
That's great. I love that. And we're going to make sure that we have that resource in the show notes today for those who want to know what that book is. But it's called Hug Your Haters. And we'll make sure that we have a link to that. But I love that because you're not only open to the feedback, but you're letting them know that you're open to the feedback. So, which I think both are important, you know, to have that kind of that presentation of safety, that you let people know that, hey, you're allowed to your opinion. I'd love to hear the way that you think because I'm not the ultimate source of knowledge on everything. Yeah. So it has a very humble approach. All right. So number 9 is to gather feedback from your constituents. What is reason number 10 every leader needs a blog?
Well, this is one I feel acutely and a lot of what my brand is about, but to mentor the next generation of leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a way, I talked about a repository for your best thinking, but it's a way to pass that on, like the baton, to pass that on to the next generation so they can get the benefit of your wisdom. You know, in life, there's two ways to make mistakes. You can make your own or you can learn from the mistakes of other people. And one of the reasons why I like to write is that I'm trying to help people avoid making the same mistakes that I've made. They'll make their own mistakes, but they don't have to make the same mistakes I've made. And one of the values that I can take from writing is mentoring. You know, I get asked all the time, I mean, several times a day from people, would I mentor them? And the tagline for my blog is the virtual mentor. And I wished I could. I wished I could have coffee with every one of these people that write in, but I can't. It just doesn't scale. There's not enough of me to go around, which some people say, thank God. But there's not enough of me to go around. But when you blog, you're able to pass that on. You're able to pass on your wisdom, your expertise, your knowledge, your skills to people that you will never meet, to people that will live or do live in countries you will never visit, in time zones that you're never awake for, and all that can happen through a blog. So the opportunity to mentor the next generation to me is a huge motivation.
Has there been any thought of on your part, and granted you have thousands of followers and readers, but even, you know, I guess, and it's combining this repository with this mentoring in the next generation, but simply having a place that your family, your children and grandchildren would ever have kind of this wealth of information too from you. Has that ever crossed your mind?
It has occasionally. It has crossed my mind.
Of course, you do that.
And of course, I keep a personal journal too.
Mm-hmm. All right. right. Yeah. So let's go through these 10 reasons again why every leader needs a blog. If you have resisted blogging up until now, we want you to very much reconsider for these reasons. If you've kind of lagged on your consistency in blogging, we just really want to encourage you to dive back in and do it. And these are the reasons why. First of all, to improve your communication skills. Second, to create a repository for your best thinking. Three, to provide thought leadership to your industry. Four, to raise your organizational's visibility. Five, to share your organization's vision, which is both for the external audience as well as the employees of your organization. Number six, to network with people who can help you. We've both, Michael and I, have built so many great relationships simply from blogging. Seven, to build trust with prospective customers. Eight, to build authority in your niche. Nine, to gather feedback from your constituents. And 10, to mentor the next generation of leaders. Before we wrap up today's program, Michael, I would love to know who you think is just hitting it out of the park when it comes to blogging right now with regards to these 10 reasons a leader needs a blog. Who's doing really well?
Man, there are so many people. I think, you know, our mutual friend Jeff Goins does a great
job. Ironically enough, he was the name that was on my mind right now.
Yeah, you know, it's really been fun to watch his writing develop over the years. Mm-hmm. And he's become, I think, a master craftsman. Ray Edwards is doing a great job, although his podcasts are also killer. You know, mm-hmm. he's doing a great great job there. So those would be a couple names that would come to mind. Michelle Cachat, you know, when she does blog, she's amazing.
Yes, I know. I know. Actually, I'm getting much, much better. Now that I'm healthy, I can blog a little bit more frequently.
Awesome.
But I do
You're a very good writer.
I do have a little Michael voice in my head that shames me and tells me I need to blog more often. And he talks incessantly. It's so annoying.
I don't want to shame you because shame is of no use.
Well, it's a positive shaming. It's a loving okay. shaming. But it's like, Michelle, you need to blog. So I'm getting much better at it.
That was awesome.
Well, if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. In addition to that, you can also watch the video if you'd prefer to watch this conversation online as well. But do us a favor before you go. This is so important. I know I've asked you many, many times, but I cannot emphasize it enough. Please take just a few moments to head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. The whole podcast world is becoming more and more full all the time. But when you take the time to let iTunes know and let us know that this content is valuable to you, it not only encourages us, but it also helps to get this content into the hands of the right people. So just take a few moments to do that for us. We'd be so grateful. Any final thoughts today, Michael, before we go?
No, I would just say, give it a shot. It's like most things I do in my leadership journey, I do a 30-day experiment. Mm-hmm. So I've tried that with Periscope. I tried it initially with podcasting. And I would say with blogging, just decide that you're going to try it for 30 days and then evaluate the results. If it doesn't serve you, if you've got a unique situation where it doesn't make sense, fine. At least you can say, I tried that and speak with some authority, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being an armchair philosopher who's never tried it but has an opinion. So give it a shot. I think you might be surprised.
All right. You heard that, everyone. Give it a shot. No excuses anymore, including me. We need to dive back in because the truth is we have a message that we believe in that's bigger than us, and it's worth us doing the work to get it out there. So thank you, all of you who have listened and joined us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life is a gift. Now go make it count.